This episode was recorded in May 2020. If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Delighted to welcome not only Frank McAvenny. Hey, by the way, you're looking well.
Yeah, you've not seen me up close and personal.
Lockdown suits you.
Oh, does it? No. Sorry for the first couple of hours. I'm getting really bored now, so. But it's all right. Are you down south or are you over abroad?
No, I'm here. I'm in England.
Are you in England? Well, at least you've got a game of golf you can look forward to. Tomorrow, yeah. We can't even do that. So,
What have you been doing? How have you been keeping yourself occupied?
I've got a big dog, Rob. I've got a big boxer dog, which has been it's been a lifesaver, honestly, because take him out and he just runs and that amuses me. It's a highlight of my day. I never thought I'd see that, but never mind.
What time's the? Do you have an alcohol cutoff time? No, like,
do you know what? I thought it was only going to be 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and I says I'm not going to drink for the 4 weeks or till lockdown finishes. My God, I didn't think it'd be 7 weeks. So I'm struggling a little bit at the moment. And I'm seeing all the boys, big Derek White and all that. On there, we're all in this group, and they're all alcoholics. But we're all enjoying themselves. So, anyway.
Listen, let's talk about your footy. When did you realise you were going to be a footballer?
The truth is, when I didn't play football when I was a kid, Rob, it's well known, I didn't do it. It was I just used to go and watch Celtic every week, home and away. And even when I went 1 week and the game was cancelled, I got a trial just by luck. Someone, I went and played football and somebody was watching someone else, and that's how I get a trial. I went and trial, and same for Johnson Borough. I went and trial with St Mirren and Partick Thistle. And Bertie Auld, dear old Bert, a good friend of mine, he told me I wasn't good enough. And at that moment, I knew I was going to be a footballer because I was better than his team. So when he told me, you take a wee bit of hurt and a wee bit of pride, and I thought, I'm going to make it. And that's when I went part-time with St Mirren. And I just quit my job and I went full-time because I wanted to make it as a professional footballer.
Were you a centre forward?
I was a midfielder. Can you hear me?
What kind of midfield player? Whereabouts?
I was double figures every season. I scored double figures every year, and it was good. I enjoyed it. We had some great players at St Mirren. St Mirren, believe it or not, used to get to Europe every year, and it was good for a team at St Mirren. The fans loved it. And that was 5 seasons I had there, so it was great. And I knew I was ready, Rob. There was a couple of offers come in before the 5 years. But I knew I was ready after 5 seasons. I didn't want to go down to England and just sit on the bench.
Did you have a chance? Why did Celtic not come in for you then? Or did they come in for you when you were at St.
I get told when I was playing against Celtic at Love Street, where we used to play St Mirren, I get told it was my last game for St Mirren and Celtic were signing me on the Monday. This was a Saturday. So we could beat 3-1 and I scored. And I was winding the keeper up, Pat Bonner. I was saying I could have scored against you anytime and all that kind of stuff. And obviously not true, but it was a good wind-up. And all weekend I was just so delighted that I was going to sign for Celtic. Couldn't say nothing to anyone. And then they signed Morris Johnson. So it was a kick in the stones, really, to be honest with you, Rob. But never mind, I went down to England. I'm so delighted because life worked out for me the way it did. But I'd love to have signed for Celtic at that time. There's some great icons like Danny McGrain and people like that, Martin McLeod, great players. So I would have loved to have joined that team.
When did you first dye your hair blonde?
first wage back at Rob. My first decent wage back at. You know, it's not just all the ladies out there will tell you, it's not cheap. This is hitting natural now, but it's getting long. It's horrible. I'm not letting anyone touch it.
Listen, what was it a culture shock going down to London, to West Ham?
Well, football-wise, it was a culture shock, Rob, because my first day's training, John Lyle, God rest him, John Lyle got everyone to get a big bag of balls and everyone had to get a ball each. And to be honest, in 5 years in Scotland, you know, I've seen a ball for about 3 weeks in pre-season. You know, it was just run and get yourself fit. And I was looking at John and John said to me, you know, that's the tools of your trade. You know, so it was so different down in England. You know, the strikers went and trained with the midfield and the defenders went away and trained. The goalkeepers went with the physios and all that and trained and coached the physio coaches. So it was all different. In Scotland, everyone trained the same. So it was different for me and I loved it. You know, I thought, you know, because strikers make different runs from midfielders and it makes a lot of sense.
What were you bought as a midfielder or a striker? Because Paul Goddard got injured, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, John told me when he wanted me, he told me, you know, he wanted me to do the number 10 role. He wanted me to play in that position with the number 10. That's where he seen me. And you know what? And we were a good team, Rob, but we never won a game pre-season. But we knew we were a good team. Paul Goddard was a wonderful player. And him and Tony scored 20-odd goals the season before. And Paul had about 16. So it could have worked, but just unfortunately for Paul, he got injured the first game of the season. And I went up front on a Tuesday night, and the rest is history. It was incredible, just the amount of... I just hit the ground running and scored 2 goals my debut at Upton Park. And that was... I just carried on scoring. It took a little while to get Tony into it. For some reason, and you know what Tony's like as a goal scorer, so he didn't start as quickly as I did. So, but once he started scoring, God, I'll tell you what. But it was fun, you know, that... There's not often you can go to work every day, play every game. There's not very often that's happened to me in my career. Happened to me twice, happened to me at West Ham that year. We were wonderful, we should have won the league. And it's happened to me at Celtic. But you know, every day you're going in, you're thinking, we're going to score goals, we're going to enjoy ourselves. And you've seen the reaction to people, even now, because everyone played with a smile on their face.
What was it with you and Tony?
We were on decent.
What was it? What did you have? I mean, I spoke to Tony the other day. were you obviously were a partnership, but how did it work? What was it?
I adjusted. I knew right away Tony was just an out and out goal scorer. It was nothing, didn't want to do anything else, which we got him to start closing people down and all that kind of stuff. I didn't want to change when I went in. I didn't want to change him from that. When Tony went through and goal, I knew I'd go for the rebounds because he's not going to pass because he's a out and out striker, and I didn't want to change that. When I went through and goal, Tony knew to come up beside me because if the keeper came out, I'll give it to Tony because I was more of a team player, and it worked. It just worked. I loved getting involved with defenders. Tony didn't. So it worked very well for us because, you know, I love taking him about. Tony was pretty small in me, but he was quick. You know yourself, he was very, very quick. So we frightened defenders, to be honest with you, Rob, because my pace and Tony's pace, we just really, they didn't know what to do with people like Alan Devonshire and that, who could just run at people and glide by players. So it was a good mix. John Lyle got it bang on that season.
Who was your toughest opponent down there?
Toughest opponent, you know what, they were all tough in their days, you know, they were all big. I enjoyed playing against Arsenal, I enjoyed playing against Tony Adams and all that. Mick McCarthy was really hard, he was at Man City. You know, he probably gave me the toughest game because, you know, I sort of broke his nose, didn't mean to break his nose, but I broke his nose in the first minute. And Mick, he didn't go down, Rob, and he didn't go off. Which was a bit scary. And for the next 89 minutes, he battered me. So so that was frightening. And there was a guy called Brian Cocline. Remember Brian Cocline?
Hey, Brian, like a Yeti.
Now, his nickname, Rob, his nickname was Killer. So when the keeper kicks the ball out and you're facing it and you hear Killer's ball, and I look at Tony and Tony saying, nothing to do with me. I know I'm getting battered. And that was Big Brian. He's the nicest guy. I've been a few trips with him. He's one of the nicest guys you're ever likely to meet. And but on a football park, my God, you know, you just look at him, you think, you should be a biker. You should be a football player. But yeah, I enjoyed Alan Hansen was very clever, Rob, as you can imagine. The Liverpool team of that era was very, very, you know, they were very clever. Alan Hansen and Mark Lawrence were very, very clever players. So it was good, but it was good to play against. It was good. That's what I went down to England for, to pit my wits against the best. And I certainly done that.
How did you end up on Wogan?
My mistake. there was an argument, Rob, in today's game. You'll laugh at this. Because there was a dispute in it for the TV. It was I don't know what it was for. It was about something. Today's market, that's, you know, it's incredible how they were arguing about something. Don't know the figure, but it was something shouldn't have been arguing about. So there was no TV coverage. And I'd scored 11 goals in 13 games or something. So it was coming up to Christmas. I just got picked for the Scotland team. And I was just about to make my debut. And I went on to Wogan, it was a Friday night. Now, in the days of the Sky and all that, there was 23 million people watching Sky, watching Wogan, and Friday night was the biggest show. So I'm on here, Rob. Yeah, if you see it, I look like an absolute fud. I bought a Cartier suit and all that. I couldn't afford it, but I bought it anyway. I had a Cartier suit, Cartier tie, Cartier shoes. Oh, I look like right. And I'm there, and I'm on this show, and I was on there with the wonderful Dennis Law, I know Dennis quite well, so we had a laugh, as you can imagine. But he had a hole in his shoe, Rob. He came down from Manchester, and he'd only one pair of shoes, and he had a hole in them. So he didn't realise, so he said to me, look, if I cross my legs, he says, give me a knock, because I don't want anyone seeing a hole in my shoe. And I said, yeah, I'm saying, yeah, okay, no problem. So as we're just getting introduced, Wogan's doing all his bit, and he's turned around and said to me, don't worry, Frank, there's only 23 million people watching, don't get nervous, son. And I says, well, Dennis, it's no me, it's got a hole in my shoe. So that was how it started. He kept slapping me, so that was Dennis. But it was great. It changed my life, Rob. It really did change my life, because everyone outside football knew me then. And, you know, the media knew what I looked like and all that after that. So it changed my life, really did.
Was it as crazy, the scene and the lifestyle you had? Is it as crazy as it's made out?
Listen, there's a lot of stories going about, Rob. I couldn't have played football the way I played and the energy I put into games, if I'd done half the things I'm supposed to have done. But they're all good stories, you know. I was at a nightclub one night, and I heard this story. Story about me. And he says, I left a nightclub at 5 a.m, and I went and played. And I'm thinking, it never happened. But I scored 2 goals. So I'm thinking, well, it's a good ending. But it certainly didn't happen. It was, I may have been there at 5 a.m, I was either suspended or I was injured and I wasn't playing or something like that. You know, the stories just, people just like to exaggerate. And the more the stories go, you know, the more exaggerated they get. So I just let it go with the flow.
Did you ever take Tony Cotty out on them? I couldn't imagine two more different people than you and him.
No. I go out more with him now. He's a changed man now. So, but at the time, no, Tony just wanted to. He'd done little writings and all that kind of stuff, didn't he? He'd done me diagrams of how he scored a goal, which is brilliant, but wasn't for me. He seen me, he tells his story. I seen him, I used to go to Stringfellas a lot. God rest Peter. But I used to go to Stringfellas, and And Tony met me at reception. And he says, God, Tony was in. He was in downstairs. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And Tony was going home, his pal. He met me at reception. He says, Frank, I didn't realise you were in. I wish I'd seen you earlier. And I said, Tony, I'm just going in. And Tony was leaving. So that's how different we were. Yeah. So a good place for us to get a lockdown.
Listen.
It's a proper lockdown.
Was that 86 team, would it say the best you played in?
Yeah, well, that 86 team, people keep asking me with a change in. You know, there's little things that you maybe do, but I got asked last week, Rob, to pick the best West Ham team. And it would be that 86 team, but with a couple of, no disrespect to Stevie Walford, but if we had Julian Dix in the team, Dixie was a proper left back, he could play.
Yeah.
And Billy Bonds, I was fortunate to play with Billy, just as he was 40-year-old, Rob. And he was,
yeah. You know,
but for him to play in his prime, I would have put him instead of Neil Orr. That's only two positions. And that's no disrespect to Neil or Stevie Walford, because they were wonderful players. But I think if we'd have got Bill at his prime, just sitting in front of the defence, and back, his left foot kicking people into the stand and all that, it'd be great.
What did it mean to sign for Celtic?
Well, to Rob, it was my team. I don't know, you know, when you're proper, I was a proper supporter because I didn't play football until I was 19. So up until I was 19, I used to go home and away. So I was there. And the boys I'm playing against, when I was at St Mirren, I'm playing against the boys I supported all my life, you know, like Tommy Burns and, you know, Murdo McLeod and Danny McGrain and all these kind of people. Now, all of a sudden, I'm playing against them. And it was a bit weird and wonderful. But then when I went down, as I say, the disappointment not signing for them and then going down to England, it probably done me better because I became a better player down south. Definitely became a better. You know, I'm playing and training every day with wonderful players. You know, when you get people like Billy Bonds, as you say, at 40, but Alan Devonshire, you know, people like Alvin Martin, total professionals. And they make you a better player. So it was great. And then going up and signing was magnificent. Because I knew when I signed Rob, it was the start of his centenary season. And I knew they'd just get knocked out of the League Cup, which obviously I knew about. And me as a Celtic supporter, I thought they were going to take Charlie Nicholas back. I wouldn't have been too disappointed with that, because I thought Charlie was a wonderful player. But they came in for me, and I knew it was a big ask. It was a lot of money for Celtic to spend out at that time. You know, 900,000 or whatever was a lot of money. But it worked, you know. I just wish they'd come in and bought me before they get knocked out of the League Cup. They might have won a treble, you know, who knows. It was a good team, again, played with a striker, and Andy Walker, who was just similar to Tony, just wanted to score goals. Uh-huh. So it worked, and Mark McGee was there, who was, you know, Mark was, he was coming to the end of his career, but he was a great third man in the striking role. So it was good fun. And again, that was a year when I went there, everything just clicked. The manager got, because Graeme Souness had took all these wonderful English players, because they couldn't get into Europe because of, you know, the ban in Europe. So, you know, your Terry Butchers and Woods and Roberts and Walters and Shane Waters, Wilkins, Francis, I mean, God, Matt, you know, the list goes on, Stevens, all went to, and that's not including Souness himself, and then the homegrown like McCoist and Durant. It was just, David Cooper was there. They had a wonderful team. And for us to beat them, Billy McNeil, God rest him, he bought all these Celtic supporters. You know, he brought these Celtic supporters in. And Andy Walker was a supporter, I was a supporter. And I think that was the only reason we won the season, we won the league that year, because we won games in the 91st minute and the 90th minute because we didn't give up, you know, because we knew what it meant to the supporters.
Was it as bad that when you all ended up in court in the Old Firm derby with Woods, Butcher, yourself? How bad was it when you look back on it now?
You know me, Rob. It's always me, isn't it? It's the first. You know, it was the manager says, don't get involved. 14 minutes later, I get sent off. I get charged with inciting a riot, breach of the peace. Took to court. It was brilliant. It was good fun. I got a week off training, Rob, which is it's always a good shout. So, but we got a result in court as well. They couldn't even beat us in court that year, so it was good. But it was great. It shouldn't have happened, Rob, to be honest. It was handbags at 10 paces. You know, I like hitting the goalkeepers. And I do that every game. And all the keepers know I do it. I just to let them know. And the referee gave a... I hit Chris Woods and the referee gave a corner. And it was... I couldn't stop laughing. And that was it. That's how it started. But to be fair, it was handbags at 10 paces. He said, I've got the two of us together and says, look, you used to cut it out and... You know, just sort it out because you know what we're like. We're all pals.
Yeah,
get lumps out of each other in the park, and but yeah, that's what it should have happened. As I was backing off, Chris Terry came in and shoved me, and then I come back in, and then Robert got involved, and I thought, well, three against one's never a good odds in anyone's language. So I thought, but it showed that year we weren't going to take anything from the Rangers boys. So it got the season off to a good start for me. Not in the right way, but it got me there, and the supporters knew I was one of them, so that was it.
What was Billy McNeil? You used to travel up and down, didn't you? You used to travel down to London.
Yeah, there's not these stories. I'm hearing, as I said earlier, I'm hearing stories. I was late one Monday, and I'm hearing stories now. It was Thursday. I was getting in, all that kind of stuff. I was always late on a Monday morning. I never went down when I had a midweek game. I never went down to London. But you know what London's like, Rob? It's a great place, and I love going down there and enjoying myself. And I was going into clubs, and George Michael's there, Elton John, you know, Rod Stewart. Nobody bothers the footballers. So I could get away with just enjoying myself and having a right good time. And that's what I've done. And sometimes I'd miss the flight. You know, I had to get a 8:10 flight on a Monday morning. And sometimes I missed it and had to get the 9:20, which made me late for training. But it's all, and I knew Billy's, the gaffer's family, so they were all saying, oh, he's going off his head every Monday night, sod's not in and all that. And it was good family entertainment for them, so. But it was good. We used to batter off each other, and the boy says he loved it, the gaffer loved it. It was all part and parcel of manhandling players, and he sort of handled me very well, to be honest with you.
Was it a pinnacle to play for Scotland?
Yes, well, that was my, you know, dear old John Lyle told me, you know, when you get, I was fortunate, when you get managers like John Lyle and Billy McNeil looking after you, you know, to be honest, you're not going to go far wrong. And I don't think two guys like that would have treated me if I was half as bad as what I was supposed to have been. So it was great making my debut. You know, I'm playing up front with my idol, Kenny Dalglish. I was in tears when Kenny left Celtic in 1977. You know, I thought my world had ended and all that as a supporter. And he went down to Liverpool and then all of a sudden I'm in the same dressing room. First of all, it was great to play against him when I went down to West Ham. And then it was being the same team, it was like just, it was written in the stars for me because he's my idol. He gave me my goal, which is just incredible, you know. And then I made the other one, which is brilliant. We went 2-0. Got to the World Cup and Mr. Ferguson fell out with me on route to the World Cup.
Why was that, Frank?
I don't know. I can't remember. Those are a few things. I still think I was only just behind Gary and Lineker for the Golden Boot, you know. We were told neck and neck. I didn't realise, to be honest with you, I was going for the Golden Boot, but I just wanted to play football, Rob. And I think Gary would be the first to say when he won the Golden Boot at the World Cup because he was on fire. He was scoring a lot. He scored a lot of goals, and I was the same. And I think if he'd have played myself and Charlie, Nick, we would have got to the next stage of the World Cup because the papers made a mistake because they took me and Charlie away and they got, you know, there was other reasons, but one of the reasons was Fergie says that the press don't pick his team. And they took me and Charlie away and got his, you know, dressed up as cowboys and all that kind of stuff, Mexican hats and all that, the usual, for the papers back home, and says this is the two that's going to fire us to the next stage of the World Cup, and And that was it. And Fergie says, the press don't pick my team. And I get dropped. So, listen, I was always ready for games, no matter what I'd done off the park. I was always ready for games. Never let anyone down on it. Never let any of my teammates down, which is something that I'm very proud of. So,
Fergie played me. Is there a goal, a standout match? He scored two against Dundee United in the last 40 minutes to win the Scottish Cup. Scored amazing goals throughout your career. Is there one that stands out as the special one?
I scored a few special ones, but yeah, with the ones that you're talking about, I scored two against Rangers the second game after I got sent off. And for a Celtic supporter, that's very special.
That New Year's Day was...
New Year's Day, yeah. Well, it was 2nd of January in 1988. And when I scored my second one, the 80,000 fans started singing Happy Birthday. So it was great for a Celtic supporter. The cup final was magnificent because I had a nightmare, to be honest with you, in a semi-final. So it was good to get the two goals and win the cup. Playing for Scotland, the same way, making my debut, and John Lyle driving up from London, all my family there, and I scored one, made one, so that'll be special. I like just the goal against Chelsea for West Ham was, you know, I couldn't put my leg up that high. The best of times, I don't know how I got it up there and hit that ball. So yeah, that was special for me. To go there and beat Chelsea 4-0, who were the top team in London, one of the top teams in the league at the time. So to go there and beat them 4-0 was a bit special.
What are you up to now? I saw you in Dubai, you were brilliant doing your after dinner in Dubai.
Yeah, it's good. It's great over there. I go there and I've been over there a few times now, Rob. The Celtic support, they've got a big contingent over there.
That's it.
Celtic Supporters Club over there. And West Ham have got it now. They've got a massive one over there. So I've been over to both of them. And I've been over with you guys doing it, you and Big Whitey doing that, the golf. And I love doing that. I love going and meeting people. That's what I do in my life now. I go and meet people, talk, have a chat to people. And I just, you know, talk about, it's all good memories and all that. And it's great. People want to talk to you and want to speak about, you know, things that's happened, because it's all part and parcel with football. I'm a bit frightened for the future, Rob, because some of the boys today, I mean, there's a few of them, but some of the boys won't bother about football when they finish, because they've not got that much money, I think.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if this will continue, you know, so hopefully. There's a few boys, you know, your Scott Brown's at Celtic now, he's just a down-to-earth boy, so I'm hoping that all that continues. And at West Ham, you know, you've got your Nobes and all that. And so I'm hoping that the people, they'll still go and go to the supporters clubs and all that, because we used to do it all the time.
Hey, do you know what?
But, what?
Thanks.
Thanks. No problem.
Thanks a lot. Hey, it's lovely to see. It's lovely to see you looking so well as well. And hopefully it's not too long before I bump into you in person again.
It'd be great, pal. We'll get you a beer this time, eh?
Brilliant. Hey, Frank, thanks a lot, mate.
No problem, Rob. Anytime, sir. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.